Now, with the bells of All Saints Church just here, ringing out a celebration about to happen, begin to walk back across the bridge, and you will no doubt perceive, as Priam does, that Putney has clearly the advantages of a residential town in a magnificent situation. As you walk towards it, you will perhaps gather that it lays on the slope of a hill whose foot is washed by a glorious stream entitled the Thames, covered with picturesque barges and ornamental rowing boats. An arched bridge, which you now traverse, spans this stream, and some go over the bridge in milk-white omnibuses to London. Putney has a street of handsome shops, a purely business street. No one sleeps there now because of the noise of the motors. At eventide, the street glitters in its own splendours. There is a theatre, music hall, assembly rooms, concert hall, market, brewery, library, and an afternoon tea shop. There are churches and chapels, and Barnes Common if you walk one way, and Wimbledon Common if you walk another. Mrs. Challis lives in Werter Road, number 29 to be precise, and Werter Road starts conveniently at the corner of the High Street, where the fish shop is an establishment and where authentic sole is always obtainable. Putney is a place where you live unvexed, untroubled. You have your little house and your furniture, and your ability to look after yourself at all ends, and your knowledge of the prices of everything, and your deep knowledge of human nature, and your experienced forgiveness towards human frailties. You do not keep a servant, because servants are so complicated, and because they can do nothing whatever as well as you can do it yourself. You have a charwoman when you feel idle, or when you choose to put the house into the backyard for an airing. With the charwoman, a pair of gloves for coarser work and gas stoves, you make naught of domestic labour. You are never worried by ambitions or by envy, or by the desire to know precisely what the wealthy do and do it likewise. You read when you are not more amusingly occupied, preferring illustrated magazines and papers. The only apparent blots on existence at Putney is the noise and danger of the High Street, the dearth of reliable laundries, the manners of a middle-aged lady engaged at the post office, and the absence of a suitable man in the house. But this is soon resolved with the receiving and giving in marriage of Priam and Alice, and afterwards it is just as though Priam has died and gone to heaven. For heaven is the absence of worry and ambition. Heaven is where you want nothing you haven't got. In late September, after his honeymoon, we find Priam leaning over the balustrade of Putney Bridge, gazing at the broad river. Then a few yards below him an electric train shooting across the stream on a red causeway, and then away in the distance at the twin towers of the Crystal Palace, more marvellous than mosques. He has not a care in the world. He finds that Putney is all that Alice painted it. Cross over now at the traffic lights of the main junction and move up to the right-hand side of the High Street as Priam himself plunges into it, losing himself in the crowd of perambulators and nice womanly women who are bustling honestly about in search of food or raiment. Many of them carry little red books full of long lists of things which they and their admirers and the offspring of mutual affection have eaten or will shortly eat. In the High Street all is luxury, not a necessary in the street. Even the baker's shops are a mass of sultana and Berlin pancakes. Illuminated calendars, gramophones, corsets, picture postcards, manila cigars, bridge scorers, chocolate, exotic fruit and commodious mansions. These seem to be the principal objects offered for sale in the High Street. You should cross over Felsham Road on the right and, moving further up the High Street, come to the next road along. Turn right into this, Lacey Road, for a more residential feel to Priam's walk. The back streets through which he passes are populated by domestic servants and tradesmen's boys. He sees white-capped girls cleaning doorknobs or windows or running along the streets like escaped nuns or staring in soft meditation from bedroom windows. The tradesmen's boys are continually leaping in and out of carts or often on tricycles, busily distributing food and drink as though Putney is a beleaguered city. It is extremely interesting and mysterious. And what makes it the most mysterious is that the oligarchy of superior persons for whom these boys and girls so assiduously work remain invisible. On the corner of Lacey Road and Gwalior Road, stop outside the maroon-painted barber shop, Hair Dressing by Pepe, with its brown leather chairs and stacked pomades and shampoo in the window. This is Prime's barber. And whilst waiting in one of the brown leather chairs of the barber's, he flicks through the pages of the day's Financial Times, laying beside him on a table, where he reads the headline inside. Cahoon's Annual Meeting, Stormy Scenes. And he makes a note to buy a copy for Alice, because she has an interest in Cahoon's Brewery, and he conceives the possibility of her caring to glance at the report. Then he is called for his hair to be cut. If you now turn right and cross Mascot Road, there is a pub called the Coat and Badge. Or you could walk back up to the High Street and turn left, walking down to the Whistle and Flute, which you will find opposite the Odeon. Head inside either of these two establishments for some refreshment, and the next scene.